put in that effort. Part of the passage that we read spoke about the voice of the Lord over the waters. And if you think about the very beginning of creation, God did what? He spoke. His mere words created universe. Piece by piece, by speaking. So there's power in His word. And the other passage that we read referenced the baptism of Christ. And I'm not exactly certain, but I believe that one of the few, if not only, places where God the Father speaking, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus all represented at one moment together at a time. They're obviously all together always, but when they're visually there, audibly there, spiritually there, felt. And that is something that we better not take for granted. Because like Isaiah spoke beforehand, that part where God says, "This is my son, with him I am well pleased." That was spoken before, 700 years before, by the prophet Isaiah. So again, this importance of the word, God's word being spoken. And we know that it continues. Jesus set it up for us by speaking. He came to preach, to teach, and in his voice was truth. In particular, he made this also, this reference about being a shepherd. And I don't know if you're familiar with this, I know I was not, about the way that sheep are led in places like Israel. At least in America, the context of sheep being shepherded, here's how we do it. We have cowboys and dogs. And the dogs bark and they nip at the sheep's heels and we push them. We move them from one field to another. And the sheep kind of do it somewhat probably frightened and somewhat kind of like confused, but they get sort of corralled. That's the visual that at least I, and I think a lot of Americans, take from the idea of a shepherd. But that's different than in the Middle East. In the Middle East, in Israel, a shepherd would lead their sheep. They wouldn't hit them with a stick. The stick, the staff, was to protect them from other animals. The staff was kind of a token that was a little bit higher and taller than the shepherd, so that they could see it. Sheep actually follow. They don't get pushed. And the primary way that they follow is the shepherd would sing. That's why David was a musician. He was a shepherd. He would play music and he would sing. He would sing prayers. And that's not at all uncommon. That's the way the shepherds led. And the idea that sheep would follow the shepherd's voice is profound. In that way, I've seen videos that reference this where there's actually huge herds of different sheep from different shepherds, and they do, like this passage, they recognize their shepherd's voice. They don't follow another shepherd. In 1,000 sheep with 4 or 5 different shepherds having parts of them, one shepherd would lead a group another way, and they follow because they recognize his voice.
We want to be recognizers of God's voice. And one of the things that we know, if we live very long, is that God speaks in a variety of different ways. And I love this passage in 1 Kings where it talks about God speaking. And when you think of God's voice, I don't know about you, but oftentimes I think of this loud, booming God speaking. When he speaks audibly, that it's this huge, crashing voice. But this passage in particular talks about that and says, after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. So he wasn't in the earthquake either. He wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. And that was the voice of God. Those of us who've walked with the Lord for a while can understand, maybe. And there are others of you, you just have to trust. That sometimes the Lord speaks in a huge, crashing voice. Maybe not audibly, but it might be through hardship. It might be through conviction. It might be life shaking. And that can be the Lord speaking. That is not his only voice. There's other times he speaks creatively, where you have an idea, you have a passion, something comes to your mind. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I have on occasion where I think a thought and I realize that's not me. That's not something. the amazingness of God. And in all those things, what we know is that he guides us for purpose, for love. Isaiah, again, he speaks. Isaiah must have been a great listener. Because all the book, 53, 54 chapters of Isaiah, is him hearing the voice of God. And one of the things he says is that God spoke to him and said, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That is so life-giving to me when I read that passage, because I know that no matter where I go, even if I do wrong, God will speak. He won't just ignore me. He won't turn his back on me. He will continue to speak in my life in all those variety of ways. It's life-giving to hear from the words of God. One of the things that I read over the summer was a book called Whisper, and it was about hearing the voice of God. And one of the things that the author said that really struck me was he said this. He said, you will eventually be shaped into the image of the loudest voice in your life, the voice you listen to most. Boy, did that convict me. And I actually thought about it and I realized, you know, that's probably very, very true. We do conform. We become more like the loudest voice in our life. And boy, I would say that's a very meaningful to think about in context of God speaking. Is he the loudest voice in our life? Or is it some social media? Is it our boss? Is it our spouse even? Who is the loudest voice in our life? That's the one we conform to. And here's the thing that he went even further. He talked about this thing called the tomatis effect. Because what happened was, Luciano Pavarotti, famous opera singer. And you know that opera singers, their voices are so, so loud. Oftentimes they don't even use a microphone in the picture. Their voices are so powerful. They're in an amphitheater, and they will just sing out, and it's audible. The decibels are extremely, extremely high. Well, the tomatis effect was by research that a man did, and he found that there was this opera singer, one example of many, where he got later in his career, he could not hear certain notes. And long and short, what they realized is that because of his own voice, because it was so loud, he'd become partially deaf. His own voice had sort of deafened him. Wow, when I read that, I thought, isn't that powerful? Because many times in our own lives, who's the loudest voice? The own. Sometimes we can be so selfish, even without even meaning to. Sometimes we can think our own thoughts are so much more important than anyone else's. Or even in depression or arrogance, our focus is hearing our own thoughts, our own voice. But we want to be listeners to God, to hear him speak. And I took some of the things that I read in the book, and then also kind of just my own kind of, I guess, priorities, so to speak. And I think predominantly here are the ways that we hear from God. Through scripture, through opportunities, through other people, through pain, and what I would call prompting. We know that God speaks through his word. It is his primary way of giving us truth, giving us insight, both to life, our own, and also into who he is. So he speaks through his word. It is probably the starting point of all of God's voice. So we need to be familiar with it. How can we hear from God in other ways if we don't really know his nature, his character? We find that in scripture. So being in there, and that takes practice. And all these things you're hearing say, and to myself, believe me, as much as anyone else, in order to hear well, like the little children, we need to concentrate, we need to practice. We need to practice learning God's word, hearing from it. And through it, we get guidelines. And this is one thing I thought was pretty profound that I've heard in a couple places that I've tried to cling to. The idea that how does scripture and Holy Spirit work together? Through scripture, we have guidelines. We have a map that God gives us of how to best live our lives, how to best know him. And through the Spirit, we have a guide. What does that say about God? Doesn't that tell us how much he loves us? That he wouldn't just give us this map, this book, but he would give us the Spirit to guide us, even with that map. So the Holy Spirit uses God's word. He also uses
Sometimes doors are closed, and that's God guiding us to a better door, a different one. I know there's been times in my life, even in my career, where I've sought to be used by God. My desire, I think, was in the right place. And I saw an opportunity, and I thought, God is perfect. That is exactly what I should be doing. That's clearly what God wants me to do. And then I would go, basically, to try that door and find it was locked. And, of course, my initial thought was, confusion. I don't understand. It's perfect. This is exactly what I should be doing. But I can't. And then only later on to find, well, there's a different door. And then looking back, I realize, wow, I'm glad I didn't end up in that spot. Here's where I truly belong. Here's where I'm really being used to the most. I see God's hand in opening and closing doors. Opportunities from the time that we're little to the time that we're old. He speaks to those. Guides us. He also speaks to us through other people, through relations that we have. Through other believers, we can learn a lot about ourselves, about God, about community. So this is one of the primary ways that God speaks. He speaks through others who share wisdom with us, who share comfort, who share God's word. Through them, we can learn about how to be a better friend, about how to be a better follower of God, even more about our direction and purpose. Sometimes God will speak to people and they don't even realize it. Anyone ever had a conversation with someone and then you're thinking, it says, hey, I'm just giving what I can, but you don't think much about it. And then they come back and say, wow, that was really meaningful. And you're like, wow, okay. That was God using you in another person's life, speaking truth to them. He also uses pain. God speaks to us through our pain. Whether that be because of our own choices, we've messed up and we've suffered the consequences, or maybe the pain that's not our fault, but through it we experience God's comfort. Maybe we experience a new vision about how we can be about change in the world. But he definitely speaks through pain. You see that in Scripture. You see that in people's lives. You see it in our own lives. Coming out of something difficult can be one of the most life-changing, growth-spurring events of our lives. God does speak through pain. Part of that is because of the world, and part of that is because of him. He says in his word that he takes bad and he turns it to good. So it would be the idea that nothing we experience is useless. Even the hardest, most traumatic, difficult things, he speaks to us through them because he uses them for good. And then finally, he uses prompting. Those nudges. It might be to share the gospel with someone on your campus. It might be to encourage someone. Again, one of those things I can see moments in my life very clearly where I've done something nice or I've done something caring, and when I realize the fact, if I'm totally honest, it's not something that I thought up. It's not something that I wanted to do, but I felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit prompting. Kind of just like, not an audible voice, but a speaking. You know what I mean? Or a nudge that I feel, that you feel, that another believer experiences. That's from God. It's not a push. It's not a forcing. It's just a prompting. He speaks through these things
to help us grow closer to him, to help us be more used by him for the benefit of others. And I sort of want to close by this idea that if we are faithful in those promptings, God will take care of the rest. And like all the others, like God's word, like hearing through people, like hearing from pain, it takes practice. Like we talked about the last time that I was here, I'm sure it's been spoken about in other sermons, when we think about training, it means practice. It means persistence.
Peter some thoughts.